Acts chapter 27, and I'm going to have to ask you to put aside all the things that have happened in the last 2 weeks, which would have clouded all your thinking, and try and think back 2 weeks when we were looking at Paul's journey and as he set off to Rome. And that's what we'll be looking at today. And we saw how, despite the fact that Paul was finally going exactly where God wanted him to go, and that was Rome, it wasn't smooth sailing, literally. We saw that the winds they encountered at the beginning of their voyage was referred to as contrary winds. Contrary winds. And they made Paul discouraged and frustrated because he couldn't get to where God wanted him to go. And so we're going to look at that and what follows after that. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come. We can think about you, think about your word, think about this man that you used in so many wonderful ways. And Lord, we can learn from him, and we can learn about you and how you deal with your people through these circumstances. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us to apply these things to our life. Give us wisdom as the Holy Spirit teaches and guides. And we ask for your blessing to be upon us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw Paul struck contrary winds when he started to head where God wanted him to be. These storms. And we saw last time how, in a very similar way, we face various storms in our life. We might be going exactly where God wants us to be going, but it's not going to be easy. There are going to be contrary winds, there's going to be storms, and they will have a similar effect on us at times as they did with the Apostle Paul on this ship. We saw that it slowed him down. It says there in verse 7, we sailed slowly for many days. And so he was heading to Rome, but these winds were making it a slow effort. We learned some things from the Apostle Paul that often happen to us. When storms come in our life, oftentimes they slow us down. And we just can't seem to achieve what we believe God wants us to do. Secondly, we see that contrary winds made Paul change his plans. The winds, he says, not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. See, if we were to go back, the plan was to go along this stretch and just sail right around the coastline, which can be the safest. But because the winds were contrary, they had to go under Crete here. And so it made them change their plans. And we saw how oftentimes storms in our life make us change our plans. We can have plans for our family, for our church, for a ministry within a church. We can have it for our life. We have all these plans set out. Then something happens, totally destroys all those plans and make us make new plans and what we seem to think take us off course. Satan does attack. He's going to make things hard and he's going to make us change our plans at times. Thirdly, we saw how contrary winds can discourage us. Paul got discouraged as things seemed to be going so slowly and they weren't getting where they wanted to go. And that can often happen as well. You put a lot of effort into something. You put effort in for years doing the Lord's work and doing what you believe God wants you to be doing, only to have some storm come along, hinder your plans, knock you off course, slow you down, and that can be very discouraging. When you feel as though you're going nowhere, it can get you down. And it's at this time that the winds or storms of life can get very dangerous. This is where we got up to last time. This is when things can get very dangerous. It's at these times the winds of life can start to deceive us and make us do things that we normally wouldn't do. But because we feel frustrated, because we feel as though we've lost hope with our plans, we're getting discouraged, we can make some very big mistakes. And we see that these men on this ship did this very thing. And so that's where we're basically up to. And from that, I'd like to just pick up the journey with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27. And I'd like to read verses 9 to 12. This is mainly what we'll be looking at today. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest." And in this, we see that the centurion, who had the ultimate say on what happened on that boat, made some very unwise decisions. Decisions made on three false foundations. And these are three things or false foundations that we can often make decisions upon when we find ourselves in storms of life. Three things that are not wise things to make decisions based on. Now, we see here, Paul, it appears, received a good word from the Lord. He says there, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." You see, Paul was a man of God who God spoke to, and he heard. This was God's man, and if he had some advice to give at this time, it would have been very wise to listen to him. I accept there's not every Christian out there, you just listen to everything they say, but this was someone that God came and spoke to on a regular basis, who had the mind of God. He was the reason why this ship was going where it was going. He was getting Paul there. And so when he had something to say, it would have been wise to listen to him. But it says in verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion." Paul said, "Do this." It says, "Nevertheless, but the centurion decided to do other things." The centurion had other ideas, and he based his decisions on three very foolish things that we need to make sure that we don't base our decisions on when the storms of life hit. Let's have a look at them. First of all, we see that he trusted in the professionalism of the sailors rather than the word from God's man. I'm saying my words cautiously because it doesn't say directly that God told Paul this. We can assume that was the case, but we should assume it was a wise thing to listen to Paul at this time. But he chose to listen to the professionalism of the sailors. They had a word from God, but the sailors said, this is nothing. We've sailed in storms like this before. We'll be okay. And the centurion listened to the sailors instead of Paul. It's true. They were sailors. They knew their business. But we even know that when Jesus was upon the earth, he dealt with a lot of fishermen who knew their craft. Yet we know that he knew how to fish better than they could. He told them how to fish, when to fish, where to put the nets. When it came to listening to someone, no one's more important than God himself. And despite how learned or experienced these soldiers may have been, their wisdom didn't surpass God's word. And friends, in storms, when the wind blows, there are going to be a lot of people that want to give advice and counsel and direction on what you and I should do. You know, if this church doesn't grow the way that people think it should grow, you can be very sure that there are going to be some professional church growers that want to come and give us advice on how to do that, to make our church more appealing and more sellable, to get the crowds in. And if you don't believe me, I should just give you some of the letters that we get in our letterbox and out there at times, how people want to come and give us advice on how we can really make our church grow, because they are professionals at this. There are going to be some people that want to give you advice on how to raise your children. There are lots of books on how to raise your children. Even Christian books who like to take obscure little Old Testament verses and stretch them out as far as they possibly can to get them to say what they want to say. People are going to give you advice and write books about them. There are psychologists, psychiatrists, professional men and women who are well trained in modern philosophy. And they're going to give you great advice on how to get through your storms in life as well. And I'm not saying that we should bury our head in the sand and reject everything as being evil and wicked, but we first must go to the Word of God and base our decisions squarely on God's Word. If something is contrary to God's Word, well, then we need to stick to what God has to say instead. No human wisdom is wiser than God's Word. Let's be very sure of that. God says this is how you raise a family, and someone says contrary, don't listen to it. If God says this is what you do in a local church and someone wants to tell you otherwise, don't listen. Whatever your storm may be in life, God's Word has the first and primary answers. No professional knows better than God. But the centurion listened to the sailors. They were professionals and didn't want to listen to Paul, who God spoke to. Big mistake. Second mistake was the centurion based his decision on comfort rather than God's truth. It says there in verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in. You see, they had sailed down and they landed here in Fair Havens, wherever it is, somewhere around there. The problem with Fair Havens was it was just this pokey little place that wasn't very enjoyable for sailors to stay a whole winter in. As sailors, they wanted to go down to Phoenix, just down here, just this little sail down to there, because that had a lot of what we would call night spots and bars and lots of good places for sailors to entertain themselves over the course of a number of months if they have to winter there. And so they, if they had to spend an entire winter somewhere, they didn't want to spend it in Fair Havens. They wanted to get down to Phoenix, where it was far more comfortable. And so they made their decision also upon comfort rather than what God's man had to tell them. And far too often, when we're in a storm and we're not sure which way to turn or what to do, we make our decision on what will be most comfortable for us rather than what God says. You know, when you're not very comfortable in a storm, the chances of having things nicer and more pleasant are far more attractive as well. You know, you're having a rotten time at work, work's hard, they're treating you poorly, you're not having a good time at church, and people don't seem to be as caring as what you want them to be, and then you get this opportunity for a job somewhere in some obscure place where there's no decent church to minister to your soul, but it looks so appetizing because you can get away from your problems and have it easy over there. And in the midst of a storm, when you feel frustrated, when you feel discouraged, everything seems to be going wrong, you can quite easily lay aside principles in God's Word, commandments in God's Word, even your own common sense, and make decisions based on comfort rather than God's Word. You know, too many marriages fall apart because people want to take the comfortable option. It's hard. A marriage seems difficult. There seems to be countless troubles to sort out. But this option seems far more comfortable going over here, wherever it may be. And so people run away from the problems rather than seek God's Word and obey Him in order to get through the storms of a marriage. It happens. And if you're in the midst of a storm at the moment, you can be very sure that the devil will give you many options that seem so much more appealing and comfortable than what you're going through at the moment. And you can be sure that your sinful flesh will see that comfort, that easier way, and pine for it and think, this is far better. Despite it being contrary to God's Word. And this is when you need to listen to the Word of God. You need to listen to men and women of God that God brings into your life to remind you of what God wants you to be doing. Otherwise, you will make some very foolish decisions, just like this centurion did. He thought it'd be far more comfortable down there. All the sailors thought that. And then we see the third wrong way to make a decision. He listened to the majority rather than the Word of God. It says there, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. It says there, the more part advised to depart thence also. It wasn't just the sailors, but everyone on board seemed to be for going down to Phoenice. Everyone but Paul, and probably some other crazy Christians that were backing up Paul as well. And the centurion listened to popular vote. And you know, when you make a decision based on what most people think is a good idea rather than the Word of God, it's always going to get you in strife. One reason for that is you're always going to find people that will tell you what you want to hear. You just got to know who to ask. And then you'll find a majority that tell you what you want to hear. But you need to make decisions based on God's Word and what He wants and what's best for you, what's best for your family, what's best for the Lord. We don't make decisions based on what other churches do. That's a big mistake. We don't base decisions on what churches say are fine for a believer to be doing. We don't make decisions on how we run a ministry or how we run our family or how we live our life based on what the majority says. The majority of Israel wanted a king. Big mistake. The majority of the army, when Saul took them out to fight the Amalekites, wanted to keep the best of the animals and keep the king alive. Big mistake, Saul, listening to the majority. The majority rejected Christ and they cried out for His crucifixion. Big mistake. And just because the majority says something doesn't mean that it's wise. And when you're in the midst of a storm, your safest option is to listen to God's Word. Go, if you don't understand maybe what God's Word is saying or are there principles from God's word that you need to be listening to. Go to godly men and women that you have seen made godly decisions and wise decisions in the past and ask them to show you from God's word. But to make it based on what people say and what seems to be the easiest option is a big mistake. Because these contrary winds that hinder us and become deceitful can also be very destructive, as we see in Paul's journey. Because after they'd made the wrong decision based on three foolish reasons, we read this in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. Notice the wind blew softly. Oh, you might think, see? It's perfect. God is making it so we can get down to that more comfortable place. It's just a nice soft wind. Not realizing it was a very deceitful wind. And what they thought was, they would just go out a little way, it says. They sailed close to Crete. Their idea was, well, we're not going to be silly about this. We're not going to come right out here and sail around. No, we'll stay really close to the shoreline and we will get to where we want to go. And everything will be great. We've got a nice, soft wind there as well. And they thought it was okay. But you know, once you make a wrong decision, Satan's very happy to convince you that it was a good decision. By just letting everything seem so nice for a little while, deceitful winds. But these men were fooled, and it wasn't long before they went out. It says in verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So usually destruction comes quite quickly after we fall for Satan's mistakes, tricks. When you cast aside the anchor of your soul, God's word, and the Lord, say, Lord, I'm not going to listen to you. I think I'll just go out on my own for a little while. I think I know better than you, Lord, but I'm not going to go too far. I'm just going to drift a little bit and see how it goes without trusting you. I've got the Bible there, it's right beside my bed. I may not read it for a while, but I can pick it up any time. I may go off and try a few things and miss church, but I will be back very soon. I just want to drift for a little. I just want to try this, see how pleasurable it really is. Go there, be with these things. I won't lose contact with my Christian friends though. You hear it so often. I'll just drift a little bit and see what this is like. And even though your intentions might be good, you're heading for destruction. Because when a Christian starts thinking like this and living like this, then the devil has them exactly where he wants them to be. And this is when he opens up the floodgates of hell, and suddenly that very destructive wind comes. And that's what happened to these men. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. That's the first thing we see here. They were caught. Get this, the sailors were caught. These are the men that knew the seas. They knew how to deal with all different types of storms and winds. But they were caught and could not bear up into the wind. They couldn't handle this. With all their little tricks that the sailors had, do this, throw this, put this up. They had all these little tricks for storms. None of them could work. They were stuck. You know, we have little tricks, don't we, to survive without the Lord for a while. Christians get very good at the little tricks. Even though your heart isn't right, even though there's a coldness within, you know how to sort of get through life for a while. You just know when to smile. you know, what to say at the right time, you know, how to give a good impression to people. We have little tricks to get through those times of coldness. Thing is, when you make the wrong decisions and you get deceived by the lure of a quick fix to your problems, there comes a time when the winds just get overpowering and all the tricks fail. And you get swept up in a sin. You get swept up in some bondage of some sort or some lifestyle or some decisions that you just can't go back on. And you get caught in it and taken away. And everyone can see. And if you've been in a Christian for long enough, in churches long enough, you will be able to picture people who thought they could just drift out a little bit, play for a while, and then they got caught and they're gone. And they can't get back. It says there, once they got caught, it says, we let her drive. That's a sad thing to have happen if you're on a ship. You let her drive. It's a sad thing if that happens to a person in their life as well. That means that the officer stepped back from the helm and says, I'm not in control of this ship anymore. We may as well just let the winds take us wherever it wants. They had no control. Very similar to what Paul warned in Ephesians 4 when a person is tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We know there are many winds out there that want to blow us and control us. There is the charismatic wind. There is the serve yourself wind. There is pleasure first wind. There is I must get my own way wind. There is the easy life wind. There is the bitter angry wind. There is the lustful wind. There are all different winds that want to blow us and take control of our life. And unless our feet are firmly anchored in the Bible, we're going to be tossed to and fro and caught by them. And you know, there's many people like that today, isn't there? Many lost people. You look at their life is out of control. They've been swept up by drugs, alcohol, which is still a drug, by immorality, by pornography, by whatever it may be, pride, the passion for riches, they get swept up and they're out of control. Sad thing is, it happens to Christians as well. It's happening to Christians today. You know, there are some pastors out there, some deacons, some youth workers, some Sunday school teachers, some men, women, in Bible-believing churches who are heading into winds this very moment. They're suffering. They're in the midst of contrary winds. And these winds are frustrating them, slowing them down, blowing them off course, discouraging them. And you can be sure when they're in that situation, there will be a time when Satan comes and tempts them to compensate for this with some sinful means. Some ways that God forbids. And when a person is in this situation, if they make their decision based on how to get through these winds, based on anything else but what God says, well, then they're in trouble. And maybe today you're someone who's in trouble. You've been blown off course. You've been frustrated. You're discouraged. And you've actually seen the lure of something nicer and you've been pursuing that. And you're caught. You're bound in sin. You're bound by poor decisions of the past that you just can't seem to get out of. You're bound with guilt and sorrow and sadness. Well, you know, can you remember 2 weeks ago I showed you one of the reasons why God sends storms and allows us to get caught in storms? The main reason is so that we will turn to Him. We'll acknowledge that we can't do anything We can't get out of this on our own. None of our tricks will work, and we repent and we turn to Him and seek help from Him. Our only hope in a storm is to call on the Lord for help and ask Him to get us through it. If you're stuck in a storm, a sinful storm, because you listened to the wrong people or you made decisions based on the wrong reasons, only God can get you out. And brethren, tomorrow we start a brand new year. We don't know what the year will bring. It could be winds today and storms tomorrow. And when you get in that storm, you got to better make sure you don't make poor decisions on what to do next based on these wrong reasons. Based on what the experts may say about something, or what feels the best for you, or what the majority says. And my warning is the same as what it was last time. If you're in the midst of a storm, you've been slowed down, knocked off course and discouraged, be very careful you don't compound it by making poor decisions. But base it on the Word of God. And you know, next Sunday morning we will look at Paul and how he got through this storm with the help of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have an anchor for our soul. That when we get tossed to and fro through the storms of life, we can come to you, seek your path, your will, your ways, and we have your word to show us. Lord, I pray that we may trust in you and not ourselves. We'll trust your word and not lean unto our own understanding and be deceived. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.